coming back soon.
Let's try that again. Good evening, everyone. It's like, what, is good evening too old-fashioned for you young people now? What do you want me to say? G'day, mate. Come on. Come on. All right. It's a bit sad, isn't it? It's a bit sad. We're up to the final night of camp and the final message, and I just want to thank you all for coming and being here. Because as fun as camps are and as good as it is to come to camps, if each and every one of you decided you didn't want to come this year, I'd just be here trying to preach to me mum, me dad, and Eddie and the leaders. You know, and that'd be pretty hard work. But it's a blessing that you've come, and I want to thank you. And, you know, the Lord's brought you all here for a reason. I pray you've got a blessing, and I thank you for putting up with my preaching. You know, it's sometimes difficult. We're going to finish off tonight in Psalm 73. And we're only going to be doing the last verse, but if you'll bear with me, I'd like to read the whole psalm through from start to finish just once. We've worked our way through the psalm, and we're up to the last verse. I think it would be beneficial if we read the whole psalm from first verse to last. It's not a long psalm. It won't take long. So Psalm 73, if you could all turn there, please. 576 in the Camp Bible. Thank you, Eddie. I have written down the other ones, but I figured they'd know this one by now. Have we all found our place?
Yeah.
Righto. All right, we're going to read from verse 1 all the way to the end of the chapter. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As the dream when one awakest, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And is there none upon earth that I desire beside thee? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm and what we've been able to learn from it. I pray, Lord, you help us now as we look at this last verse, as this last challenging thought, but it is good for me to draw near to you. I pray, Lord, that you help me, give me the words to say. I pray you give us attentive hearts and attentive ears. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I read the whole psalm because I think it's needful. It reminds us of what we've looked at already, doesn't it? It reminds us that, but as for me, when left to our own devices, that we will send ourselves down a path of destruction. It reminds us that when we go into the sanctuary of God, we are reminded of who God is. And it reminds us that, you know, one thing I didn't really touch on very well was that when we go into that sanctuary of God and we realize who God is, there's a conviction there, isn't there? Verses 21 and 22, "Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." There was a conviction that came before the second realization that we looked at yesterday. There was this conviction that happens, and that's what the Lord does. He convicts us. Whether you're saved or unsaved, there's a conviction that is happening. There's a work that the Holy Spirit is going to do in our lives that's going to help us be drawn to God, to understand Him better and want to live as He lived. And then we saw last night that eternal security that we have in Christ, in God and in Christ. But tonight we see three things. In this one verse, there are three things that we can draw out of it that we as people need to do and need to understand. And the first one is, "But it is good for me to draw near to God," which is the title of the message, "But it is good for me." And we have three things that it is good for us to do. The first one is to draw near to God. Draw near to God. Now, I just want to do something quickly because we've gone to Genesis 3 so many times. We've gone to so many of the same verses so many times. Can we turn to Genesis chapter 3 quickly? I want to show something. There's a reason why it is good for us to draw near to God. And go to Genesis 3. Do you people like highlight in your Bibles? Does most people highlight in their Bibles? I want us to highlight something in Genesis chapter 3. It's page... I've written it somewhere.
Page 9.
Page 9. I don't even know where we're up to on the notes. That's fine. Page 9 in chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 8. Now you can either highlight the first part of the chapter or you can just highlight these words. We all found our place? Genesis chapter 3. Alright. So Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden," underline these words, "in the cool of the day." In the cool of the day. There was no real need for God to put "in the cool of the day" in His word. All He had to say was, "And God was walking through the garden calling for Adam and Eve, looking for them, searching for them." It didn't have to put these six words in there. So I had to try and count that quickly. In the cool of the day. And what type of picture does that give us? It gives us a picture of what Eddie tried to show, that we had this perfect world that we were put into and that God used to come down and fellowship with us. And it gives us that picture that He was coming down for a purpose because it's in the cool of the day. It's the best time of the day. We all love, I don't really love the cool of the day, but we love that time of the day where we get the most comfortable, we'll call it the most comfortable weather. And He's coming down at that time and He's coming down for a purpose. To fellowship with His creation and enjoy His creation. He had a desire to want to have a relationship with Adam. And as Pastor Eddie so clearly pointed out, but man stuffed it up. God has this desire that He wanted a relationship with His creation. It's not just a God who rules over us and is up above us and wants to rule and tell us what to do. No, He wanted to come down and walk in the garden, this perfect garden with the perfect grass and the perfect everything with a perfect created man, and He wanted to have fellowship. So the reason why it's good for us to draw near to God is because it's not a one-sided relationship. The reason why it's good for us to draw to God is because He wants us to. He wants us to draw close to Him. He wants us to have a relationship. And thanks to what Christ has done, we're able to have that now. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, page 210. Colossians chapter 1. See, when Jesus died on the cross, He died for our sins that we could have eternal life, yes. But there's one more thing that He did on that cross which I think is so vital and so important for us. It is so important. Colossians chapter 1. Page, I already said it, 210. I'm going to read from verse 19. "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. You know, I've missed the first. We'll go to verse 18. I think it gives us a little bit nicer context. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Here we have Paul explaining that through Christ we've had this reconciled relationship with God. So we understand that God was so righteous, so pure, that he could not be with an unrighteous and unholy person. He could not have fellowship with that person. And yet here we have Paul explaining to us that on the cross, he didn't just die so that we could have eternal life. He died so we could be reconciled and have a relationship once more with the Heavenly Father. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it a wonderful truth that God wants a relationship with us? He wants to have a conversation with us. He wants to know us. He wants us to know him. That's why he was coming down in the cool of the day, to spend time with Adam, to get to know him. It's something that God desires. It says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Amen. We don't have this. Has anyone ever had a one-sided friendship before? You know, where, you know, as you get older, you're going to have a lot more. You're going to have all these friends at school that you think are your friends, and as you grow older and move apart, you're going to be trying to text them and trying to have friendships with them, and you're just going to get one-word answers, and you're not going to have that friendship. We've all experienced that in some way, shape, or form. But you don't have that with God. The only reason we have any distance from God as Christians is because we remove ourselves from him, because we do not desire to draw near to God. We have a desire. We're supposed to have this desire to be close. He reconciled us so we can have a relationship with him. He desires a relationship. Now, we all desire to have a closeness with someone. We all desire it. And yet, for some reason, we don't want to do it with God. He desires a relationship. Turn back to Psalm 73 again. Turn back to Psalm 73. We're going to look at the second one. We've looked at, but it is good for me to draw near. But now we're going to look at the second thing it is good for us to do. We all there? So we have, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. The second thing that is good for us to do is to put our trust in him. He's worthy of our trust. You know, there is no relationship without trust. But there is no trust without a relationship. And God desires to have this relationship and us to have trust in him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. It's not like you're trying to put your, you know, we've all had a friend who you've confided in, and then all of a sudden someone else is telling you a secret that you've told your friend. Because I'm not saying they're a bad friend, all right? They're a bad friend. If someone's telling you your secrets around everyone, they're not a good friend. They don't care for you. If they cared for you, they'd be trying to help you, not spread it around so everyone knows your secrets. But with Christ and with God, we don't have that. He cares for us. He desires us to be close to him. He desires us to trust him because he loves us. He paid the ultimate price to have this relationship. Not just for you to go to heaven, not for you just to have eternal life and joy, it's so we could have a relationship with God. He wants us to trust us. Now, what does these two aspects point to? They point to something, don't they? And I've already alluded to it. What does it point to? Anyone care to guess? A relationship. What God desires more than anything else is to have that restored relationship with his creation. And we see it back in the reason why I didn't get you to turn to any verses, because in Psalm 73 we see it with Asaph. We can cast our cares upon him. Sorry, I've skipped ahead a little bit. I just want to make this point. We can cast our cares upon him because it says in verse 24, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." He doesn't just want to hear our cares. He wants to help us with them. He wants to help you. He cares for you. He wants to know what ails you. He wants to know so he can try and help you. He wants to counsel and lead us by love. It says, "Thou holdest me by my right hand." We looked at that yesterday. He wants to guide us and help us and protect us. He loves us. He wants a close relationship. And as we just alluded to, these two things here, drawing near and trusting, it's a relationship. Don't we all want to have a good relationship with someone? You know, there's no greater picture, well, it's an imperfect picture, but there's no greater picture on earth than the relationship that we have with God than as a husband and wife. And I'm going to ask a question. None of you know my wife, so it's okay. So, you know, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But when I started dating my wife, if I only talked to her like once a week and all I wanted to do was what I wanted to do and never wanted to do what she wanted to do and just did everything I wanted to do but just wanted her there, do you reckon I'd be married? No chance. No chance. My lovely wife would have ended up with someone else and I would have missed out on a blessing. But that's the same as what it is with God. He wants to have a relationship with you that is so close. And we see it with Asaph here. He recognized it. He said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" in verse 25. "And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." When Asaph went through this struggle and he was convicted by God and he finally realized who God was, he realized that he wanted that relationship, that closeness, and to be led by him. And God wants that for each and every one of you in this room. Each and every one. We looked at that yesterday. He wants none to perish. He wants none to go to that place. He wants all of us. He didn't create hell for us. He created hell for the devils and his angels. And he created it the perfect way for us to come to him so we can have a restored relationship. We can have a relationship with an almighty God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Like the God who created heaven and earth, the God who created absolutely everything, who could just plonk us here and leave us here, doesn't want to just do that. He wants to have fellowship and have communion and have a closeness that we could only have with the Lord. But there's something that we need to realize, and there's things that can stop this from happening, that close relationship. And we've looked at one of them, but I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews is page 234 in the New Testament for the Church Bible, and it's close to the end of the book. If you get to James, you've gone one book too far. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. There are some things that can hinder our relationship with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Here we have, I just want to look at the one part in verse 1. "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us." See, when we think about our relationship being pulled away from God, we always think it's just sin, don't we? And when you look at this word beset, what do we think beset means? It's all right, I didn't actually expect you to get it. It means to ensnare. Dad, could I have you come up here for a minute? We're going to see if I'm stronger than my dad. Right, come up here. Right, turn around, just face your chair. Walk. Walk to your chair, go. This is an ensnare. It's stronger than I thought. That's what ensnaring is. It's something holding us back. Oh, sorry, that was actually, yeah. Yeah, sorry, Dad, I didn't mean it that way, but... But that's the idea of ensnare. There's a place that he was meant to be, which is sitting over there, but he couldn't get there because something was holding him back. And yes, sin is something that would definitely hold our relationship back with the Lord. But there's something else there, isn't there? What's it say? Lay aside every weight. Every weight. And this is something that I think we let these things slide a lot. Because there's some things that we have in our lives that they're not sin. Exactly sin. You know, they're okay, you know. Not every video game is wrong. Not every sport game is wrong. Not everything we want to do that is fun is wrong. But when it pulls us away from the Lord, when it's holding us back from our relationship with the Lord, then it is starting to be wrong, isn't it? You know, there's these things called a mobile phone. You know, these things that we can just waste so much time on. I'm amazed sometimes when I look at... Does anyone look at their screen time? So, oh, wow, it's more people than I thought. If you don't look at your screen time, look at your screen time. All right, and then we'll, you know, obviously look at what you're looking at during that screen time. But the thing is that the amount of time we waste just scrolling whatever we're scrolling, doesn't matter whether it's YouTube or whatever it may be that you like looking at. For me, it's YouTube. YouTube is something that takes me away from my time with the Lord, because once you start scrolling shorts, you just get stuck in shorts. Or once you start looking at, you know, you find a content person you like, you just start watching everything they've made. And all you know it, you start looking something at 7 o'clock when the kids go to bed, and then all of a sudden it's 9 o'clock and you've missed your time to be with the Lord. That's a weight keeping me from the Lord. And it's something that I'm slowly working through myself. My goal this year, which is going to be a hard goal, is to make sure that my time in prayer and in the Bible is higher than my screen time. Because it's just wasting time at the end of the day. You know, but then you've got to look at what you're looking on those phones, what you're looking at, what you're doing, what you're spending your time doing that's drawing you away from the Lord. It's not just these things that are banal and time-wasting that keeps you from God. It is your sin. And most of the time for us, the sin is sadly in that little thing called a phone. You know, there's so many things that you can just be randomly exposed to on those things. We need to be aware and be careful, because those things can draw us, can be that weight that is keeping us from a relationship with God. And I've obviously confessed things that I struggle with, and I hope that as I'm talking about this weight and these sins that are keeping us from God, that things are coming into your mind that are keeping you from God. Because everyone has them. I'm sure if Pastor Eddie stood up right now, he could probably say, yeah, there's some things that I need to sort out. Because we all struggle with it. It's not something that young people are the only people are ailed by. We all struggle with it. We all have the world. The devil has done a great job at putting so many distractions in our way that we don't even realize how much time we're wasting. And it's not always wrong. It's not always wrong. It's not always a sin. But when it's a weight that's keeping us from where we're supposed to be, it becomes a sin. I'm not saying you shouldn't play sports or anything like that, but just make sure that the balance is correct. Is the sport more important? It comes down to this. Is it more important than God? Because if you're spending more time with it, then it's more important than God. You know, if you're going to have a relationship and eventually get married, which you all probably hope you would, if I'm spending no time with my wife and everything with what I want to do, I'm not going to get to know my wife. I'm not going to get to have that close relationship that we have now. Like, I've been married for going on 7 years, and it still feels fresh. I'm still getting to know my wife, and I'm still getting to know her, and that's the type of relationship we're supposed to have with the Lord. That's why in Ephesians 5 it gives us this picture. It gives us the picture of Christ and the church and a husband and wife. There's a parallel in the Bible. I'm not just making stuff up. Go and read it. But for me to, you know, want to continue to have that close relationship with my wife, I have to put effort in. And sometimes that effort means I have to, you know, not sleep as much. I had to learn that last year, that through work, through ministry, through children, through this, my wife was losing time that she deserved. And I had to learn that, okay, I don't need 8 hours sleep. I'll have to go to sleep an hour later and spend that hour with my wife doing whatever she wants to do. And it's that, you know, that relationship with the Lord is similar to that. But what is more important to you than your relationship with the Lord? That's what I want to ask you tonight. What is holding you back from your relationship with the Lord? And if you're unsaved here today, what is the thing that is holding you back from accepting that relationship with the Lord? He wants to have a close relationship with you. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that is part of the blessed hope of the gospel. It's not just salvation. It's not just eternal life. It's I get to be with Christ forever. And he wants to be with me forever. And he wants to know me. And he wants us to know him. But what have you put above Christ? What have you put above that relationship with the Lord? What is more important? You know, we have Asaph who realized that the carnal things of this world aren't as good as having the Lord. Asaph had that realization. And I hope you are going to have that realization tonight as well. Because the Lord loves you. He loves you so much he died for you. But he not only died for you, he wants that close fellowship. Do you spend time in the Word of God? Because for me to get to know my wife, what did I have to do? I had to talk to her, but also had to do what? I had to listen to her talk. And she's a quiet girl, so it's hard sometimes. You've got to try and force it out of her. But if I didn't listen to her and all I did was talk, and I feel like there are two types of Christians sometimes. There's the ones that easily read and there's the ones that easily pray, and we always miss one aspect. I'm a person who finds it easy to read, but I struggle sometimes with my prayer life. We all have what, but to have a relationship, a good, solid relationship with the Lord, we need both. We need both. What is hindering you today? What is more important than you? And there's one more thing. There's one thing I had to learn when I met my wife is that for us to have a close relationship, I can't just consistently do everything that I want to do. That sometimes we're going to have to do what she wants to do. I'm not a person who's ever been to the orchestra before. I never really cared for it. You know, like it wasn't that I didn't like it. It's just I didn't like opera. I didn't like any of these things. My wife plays the cello. You know, the first thing she ever invited me to, even before we were dating, was to watch her play the cello in an orchestra. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go and do it, you know. I like this girl. I better go and make an effort. And when I got there and got to watch her do what she loved, I knew that she was the girl I wanted to marry. You know. Okay. I got to say, I've never, ever had that reaction preaching before. Oh, I've lost my train of thought. There's going to be times where you're going to have to do things that you're not going to want to do. And it's for the Lord. And as you start, and the reason why I explain that story is because once you start doing them, you're going to enjoy it too. I ended up enjoying, you know, listening to the orchestra. You know, I ended up finding the people that play the cello that my wife had never heard before, and I got to introduce her to that. And I did that because I loved her and I wanted to get to know what she liked. And that's what we're supposed to do with the Lord. There's one thing that there's an order in this chat, in this verse. And how many of us here would like to be a good witness for God? Now, I hope we all do, you know. But there's an order in this verse. We're not at Psalm 73 anymore, are we? No? Can we get back to Psalm 73? Sorry. So we've looked at that it is good for me to draw near to God. We've looked at it as good for us to trust God. But there's one more thing that is good for us to do. And there's an order. Draw near, trust, and then there's something that we're going to be able to do because of that relationship. What's it say? We'll read the whole verse. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Who here has like a really good friend and all you want to do is boast about them because you care about them so much and you're so proud of the things that they do? If you have a close relationship with the Lord, witnessing for the Lord isn't going to be difficult anymore. It's going to be something that just overflows out of you because you would not be able to wait to tell someone about Christ because he's your close friend. You know him. You know all about him. It's very hard to witness for God if you don't know him. Like you might know him in your heart of salvation, but you don't know all the ins and outs about him. We don't know, like, I'm still learning about God just as I'm still learning about my wife. And it's going to be a continual thing until we get to heaven. We'll constantly be trying to learn more and more about him. But the more we know, the easier that declaring him is going to be. That's what Christ wants us to do, isn't it? If Christ didn't want us to declare him and reach the lost, then when we got saved, why didn't we get up to heaven straight away? Why didn't we? It's because we're supposed to be able to, in this order, draw near to God, put our trust in him, that we may be able to declare who he is and tell people in a dying world that there is a Savior who died for them, who loves them and died for them, and who wants that relationship with them. It's a complete and loving picture. But it all starts with a relationship. And it all starts with the salvation first, then a drawing near, then a trusting, and that close relationship, knowing God and him knowing you. What is more important to you than your relationship with God? Because those things need to be removed out of your life. And it's, you know, there's sometimes you might need to remove something that's got a real strong hold on your life. Like, I've had to recently stop playing golf as much because all I thought about was golf. You know, I loved it. I just wanted that perfect swing. My dad knows. I was obsessed by it. I got a little mat so that I could do it inside. I was obsessed. All I wanted to do was hit that perfect shot. And I realized that I was too busy thinking about it that I wasn't thinking about the things of God. So I put that aside. And I think I'm getting to a point now where my kids are old enough where I might be able to do it casually with my kids as a time that I get to spend with my kids. I'm not saying the things that, those weights that are right now holding you back doesn't mean you're not ever going to get to do them if they're not sin. We're talking about the weights, not the sin. But sometimes you have to put some things aside so that you can work on your relationship. When I met Jenny, I had to stop a lot of things because I was too busy driving to her house all the time so that I could get to know her. It's the same with God. Sometimes we have to just put something aside so that we can have that better relationship, and maybe later on we'll be able to pick it up when we have that right relationship with the Lord and we'll have the perspective right, and it won't be more important than God, but it'll be something that we get to enjoy. God wants us to have joy in the world, but correctly, not sinfully, not all about fun. We've had a lot of fun at camp, haven't we? Yeah. Which is good. We do that for a reason, because we're supposed to have fun. It makes it enjoyable. But nothing is more important than God. Nothing is more important than God. If you're here today and you don't even have that beginning of a relationship with him, he doesn't just want to save you for eternity. He wants to be with you for eternity. He doesn't just want to save you and plonk you somewhere so you can live a sinless life. He wants a relationship because he loves you. If you don't know him today, please come to him. Come to him and start that relationship. And if you're here today and you are saved, but you know there's these things that you've put above God, more important, that are holding you back from your relationship with the Lord, confess them to him and put them aside and fill it with the word of God. Fill it with prayer and building that relationship with him so that we may be able to do what he desires for us to do. He didn't leave us here just to have fun. He gave us something to do, and it's different for each and every one of you, but there's one thing that is the same. We are to declare his mighty works, declare all thy works. That's what he's left us here for. What have you got in the way of that? What have you got in the way of your relationship with God? I'll close in prayer, and if you need to stay back and have a chat, please do. Please don't go out of here. You know, even if you want to talk about the things that you need to remove and you just want help or prayer with that, please stay back and have a chat. Leaders will do what they need to do, but we'll just close in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh, how wonderful and gracious and merciful you are. Not only did you die so we could have eternal life, but you died so we could be reconciled and have a relationship with you. Because of your great love, we thank you. I pray, Lord, if you've touched anyone here, if you're working on anyone's hearts, don't allow them to leave without having settled it with you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Still I gotta say to the world that
Jesus is coming back soon.